This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. This hour, we're going to look at the fallout in the Northeast Kingdom from the announcement of fraud allegations by the state and the federal government in the development and operation of several big projects in the Northeast Kingdom. Ariel Quiros and Bill Stenger have been accused of operating a Ponzi-like scheme, misleading foreign investors about where their money was going, and leaving the future of several projects in the NEK in jeopardy. That includes what might happen to a new base lodge hotel at the Q Burke Resort, which had yet to open despite much of the construction being completed. It leaves the future of Jay Peak in question, and by all accounts, it means that several of the projects in downtown Newport designed to revitalize that city may never happen at all. We're going to talk with people involved in the civic life of Newport and the business/tourism in that area. We'll also talk with the Friends of Burke Mountain, who hope to see that resort grow and thrive. But we'll start this hour with the CEO of Leisure Hotels and Resorts, which was appointed by the SEC to take control of the operations at Jay Peak and at Q Burke after the fraud charges were announced. Steve Olson is the CEO there. Thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Jane.
This is something that you're very familiar in dealing with. In fact, Leisure Hotels and Resorts is a Kansas-based firm that specializes in this kind of work, in sort of taking over depressed or distressed or problematic hotels and resorts and running them temporarily. So how does that actually work? How do you come in and do that?
We were selected by the receiver to be the ongoing management at both resorts. I have functioned myself as a receiver through bankruptcies for the past 32 years. Typically, what happens, normally you're dealing with a bank. The bank forecloses on an asset. Somebody's not making payments. The bank wants to get the asset back, and they bring us in to do that, to turn the asset around, determine whether it should be sold, or help them in discovering problems that may be occurring at the location, whether it's financial, staffing, or marketing issues. In this situation, it's different than normally what we would be providing, because this is an SEC action. They've asked the court to appoint a receiver. Michael Goldberg was appointed receiver, and he in turn hired our company, Leisure Hotels and Resorts, to come in and manage the day-to-day operations of both Q Burke and Jay Peak.
Got it. Okay. And so you have to manage then the daily operations of these two resorts and figure out how to keep them running in the meantime. I mean, that is the goal of at least many of the people who work there, is to keep all the lights on at Jay Peak where the hotel is up and running, and to get this hotel and conference center at Burke Mountain up and running so that the things that were planned there can go forward and the people who need to keep their jobs can keep their jobs, et cetera. So your plan is to make everything keep going?
Yes, well, it depends on what the receiver orders us to do. In this situation, our initial assignment was to take over the management at Jay Peak and then the ski hill at Q Burke, not the hotel. It was not originally brought into the receivership, so that complicated things some. That's been resolved as of Friday. We do now have control over the hotel operations, the ski hill at Q Burke, as well as Jay Peak. Normally what happens is we come in, first of all, and immediately meet the staff, the people that are there. As I always say, we don't have 300 people in our suitcase when we show up. We assume there's a staff there. They all want to keep their jobs. And it's normally not having anything to do with them. It's usually a financial problem that's caused this. So we want to make sure they're as comfortable as possible, stabilize that crew. And then the next step is, of course, securing assets. And that would be counting monies that are in the drawer, collecting credit cards, limiting access to the computers until we can get our arms around what is actually happening there. And then, of course, what we need to do is try and forecast as quickly as possible what the business's environment is, what are the cash needs going to be for, one, outstanding bills, two, what are the daily operating needs, and three, what major expenses might occur in the operation that we'll need funding for.
How far along are you in that process? What can you tell us about those
needs? We're very far along. We've only really been on the ground maybe 14 days, but we have had pretty good luck in pulling together that data. We provided that information to the receiver, Michael Goldberg, and he went to the court and requested the funds necessary to get us through the off season. As most people understand, there's always a peak season and an off season, and normally you either hold your profits from the previous year, or you operate on a line of credit to get you through the down periods. In this situation, there were no funds available because the ski season last year was not adequate, and the line of credit that they were working on hadn't been secured before the receiver took charge. So we were in fairly dire straits early on, just had adequate cash to meet payroll and operating expenses for the first week. But the good news is, since we were able to calculate what the cash needs might be, Michael has gone to the court and requested funding, and now that has been provided to us. So for the foreseeable future, we have adequate funds at both resorts to operate on now.
We're talking today about what's happening in the Northeast Kingdom. We're going to be looking at reaction from the Friends of Burke Mountain. We're going to be talking to people in Newport. And right now we're looking at what's happening at Jay Peak and Burke with Steve Olson, who's Chief Executive Officer of Leisure Hotels and Resorts, which are running operations at those two peaks right now. If you are living in the Northeast Kingdom, if you are affected by these issues, please let us know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and what's happening in your life, and what you'd like to see moving forward. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. We have a listener who wrote in to say, my family and I are Jay Peak locals. Not only are our livelihoods associated with the financial success of the resort, but our spiritual well-being is dependent on the mountain. Our hearts want to financially support the mountain by purchasing our 2016-2017 season passes now, as we always have. But we're worried that those monies will not go towards keeping the mountain open, and that there's a chance that we might lose that investment. Are there any assurances that this is money safely spent and that it will be spent to keep the lights on, they ask?
The first question that I asked the receiver was, one, will we have adequate money for payroll? Because I'm not asking anybody to work that's not going to get paid. And two, as people come in and either book a wedding or buy a season pass for skiing, can I be assured that the hill will be open? Because, again, I do not want to promise things to people that we cannot provide. And he assured me that that would be taken care of. Since that time, they have raised adequate funds to meet our cash flow needs and to get us through the foreseeable future. So saying that, yes, the ski hill will be open, their season pass will be honored. And during the interview or the press conference that was held yesterday with Michael Goldberg and the governor, he articulated that again and said that he is 99.99% sure the ski hill will be open, barring things outside of our control. But as far as we're concerned, the hotel will be open and their season passes are secure, and that there should not be a concern there. And the governor supported that.
And also that what, at least previous to now, has been known as the Q Burke Hotel and Conference Center, that that will open? Is that also part of the plan?
Yes.
Still? Yes.
The limitations I have currently are, one, they had just done a fairly massive layoff of, I understand, about 140 employees. We currently only have maybe 16 or 17 people working at the mountain, and they're preparing to get the downhill biking season ready to go. So the reason we're delaying until November to open, for several reasons. One, I do not have a staff there adequate to open the property, so we will need to interview and train. And two, we do not have an occupancy permit currently, so I think it'll be several more months before we can finish that process, then start marketing, pre-selling, and our goal is to be open November 1st.
But there will be mountain biking this summer?
Yes, absolutely.
I believe that's, you've been having some discussions about that just today, right? So to talk about what can be done about that.
I've reached out to as many people as possible personally. I just got out of a meeting with the Burke Academy. We're working closely with the Academy and Jory, who is now the new Burke Ski Academy headmaster, and had a great meeting with them as to what is going to be required. There's been an ongoing relationship between Burke Mountain and the Academy for a number of years. They actually owned the hill for, I believe, a five-year period and sold it to the current owners. The agreement we have with them is that we have to provide a 15-inch base for the Ski Academy, and we're committed to doing that and getting the ski he'll open for Thanksgiving, which apparently that did not happen last year. But they're committed to it, as well as our team, and we're even supporting that with an additional service people coming over from JP to make sure we get that accomplished.
Back to that question Steve, did you want to keep going?
Go ahead.
We got a note about the employees at Burke. You just mentioned that there had been previous layoffs, and so you don't have a staff at that hotel and conference center. And Jane says, will the employees who were trained and then laid off at Burke, as well as the full-time employees who lost jobs, be offered their jobs back? If the hotel is ready to open, why wait to open?
We have to wait to open because, one, we do not have an occupancy permit, number one. Number two, there is still negotiations going on with a contractor that the receiver is handling that I'm not privy to, so I'm waiting for additional information there. Number three, because we will have to rehire, we don't know how many of those people are still in the market that would be available and have to be trained, and we do not know what training they went through or whether they were the right employees in this environment today. So that process will have to be done. Our goal would be to open sooner if we can, but I don't want to overpromise because I think that's been done too much here, and I'd rather show more with results than promises. So right now we know we can meet November 1, having the studio ready by the 15th, and be open for Thanksgiving. And if we can open sooner, we will.
Again, we're talking right now with Steve Olson, CEO of Leisure Hotels and Resorts. And let's go to Tyler calling in from Williston. Hi, Tyler. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I was just curious, something that doesn't seem to be mentioned at all on the radio or on the television programs that have been speaking about this circumstance and up there at Burke Mountain. What happens with all the money that's owed to all the contractors and subcontractors that built Burke Mountain up to the point to in which it got shut down recently? Those folks have a lot of money and a lot of interest in finding out what, you know, when do they get paid so that they can go back to work there to finalize the hotel so they can start turning a profit.
Tyler, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Steve Olson?
Yes, the receiver has assured me that the outstanding bills related to construction and or vendors will be funded. Part of the cash that I asked for was and would include any vendors that had not been paid that we're aware of, as well as future forecasting for any shortfalls in cash we might have. So he has assured me that those vendors will be paid. Related to projects outside of JPEAK and Q Burke, I cannot comment. So the development that was in downtown Newport, the bio center, any of those issues are outside of my responsibility, and I can't answer to those. But as far as Q Burke and JPEAK, those will be dealt with. The condo development or portions of developments that have been started through the EB-5, I, again, am not responsible for that. I did hear Michael state during the press conference that they were working directly with the builders of those projects. I assisted them some as far as calculating what the outstanding balance might be, what the total would be needed to get it completed, and there apparently are some discussions going forward with those contractors as well as the investors that they may put in additional capital to complete those projects so that they can get their EB-5 status and receive their citizenship cards.
How different is that?
Positive things.
Yeah, how different is that for you, Steve? Because, you know, often investors in projects that you're working on may want their money back. And in this case, you have some investors who are saying, well, if there's any way to continue going through this process, we'd like to keep going. We don't want our money back. We want the process that we were promised with the green card and our investments.
Sure. I'm encouraged by that. I don't know that it's any different than a bank wanting their asset back and wanting to move forward. If the operator has failed, they realize they have to step in, and it could be financially beneficial for them. So that clearly is an option and really not any different than I worked with before, and a very viable option. If the economics are such that the assets make sense, that the investment, my only concern would be that maybe too much was spent on the asset and the return may not be as good as they suspect. So we need to do some analysis on that so that we can answer any questions they might have. But I see it as a very viable option.
Ray is on the line with us from Montgomery. Hi, Ray. Your question today.
Okay. Okay, just let me know when.
Yep, you're on, Ray.
I'm in Montgomery. I'm a local skier who's had a season's pass up at Jay Peak for 30 years. And the receiver, Mr. Goldberg, said that Jay Peak is going to need a $4 million upgrade to their tram. I just wondered if funds have been put aside to start that work this summer, because Jay Peak without the tram next winter would be quite a different experience, and the chairlifts, I think, would become pretty crowded. I'll just wait and hear my answer off the air. Thank you.
Ray, thanks for the call. What about it, Steve Olson?
We're very close to the requirements of the tram and what's being required. That was addressed in the press conference yesterday as well. The total repair that we're being told is in the neighborhood of $4.1 million if everything that the original builder of the chair says is required needs to be done. Right now, we've had a conversation with the people, the engineers on the project. We're doing a load test currently to make sure that the chair is functioning correctly, which we believe there's no difficulty with that. It really revolves around the whole fact that this chair has been there for many, many years, and there are some upgrades that most likely need to be done to it. And, of course, our biggest concern is life safety for me would be to verify that that chair is functioning and that it's safe, and we will assure everybody that that is done or we will not operate it. The immediate cash needs, I believe, are in the 1.1 range that we would have to put down with them so they can order parts and get that done, which would give us another year. I did present the $4.1 million to the court. The court is aware of it. My understanding is that some of those funds have been made available to us in order to get through to that first testing phase, and that we're negotiating with them right now to verify really what that total might be. But clearly we want it safe. The court is aware of it. Funds have been defined, and we're moving forward with that and feel fairly optimistic that all the funds will be released in order to make those upgrades when they're necessary.
We also got a question posed by several people who want to know if it's true that the sons of Bill Stenger and Ariel Quiros are still working at the resort. Jackie says, if so, why, when they clearly knew what was going on? Why are so many of the existing senior managers still in charge when they must have known? And if they didn't, then they weren't very good managers.
Well, I would disagree with that opinion that lower level managers would have full knowledge of the financial workings of a resort that does over $60 million a year. All those things would take place at a very high level. That would be the owners, any bankers they were involved with, and or financial analysis people that would handle the day-to-day cash. Typical staff has no knowledge of that or would have knowledge of that. First of all, as far as RE Jr., he is no longer employed at Quiros. That decision was made actually several days ago, but we were waiting on getting full control of the hotel because the hotel was still reporting to RE. So he is no longer employed here and not part of Quiros. Second of all, the other two employees that are sons of Bill Stenger have really zero knowledge of what their father might do on a daily basis, no different than I don't know what my dad does with his money every day. So I think it's unfair to paint them with the same brush at this point. My position is they were not brought into this court action because they're not involved. And even if they were, my position is that these people are innocent until proven guilty, and we need to let the court decide that. The two individuals that are still employed at Jay Peak are Andrew, who is in charge, Andrew Stenger, who is in charge of facilities and maintenance. He's been integral in the construction and management of these projects and has a unique knowledge base that is necessary for us to untangle this. And I, having functioned as a receiver myself for over 30 years, have a great deal of experience interviewing and analyzing responses from individual and believe that they have zero knowledge of any of the inner workings that are involved in this SEC action and are an important asset to that property. The other one is Jamie Stenger, who runs the golf shop and the retail outlets. Again, that is the extent of his ability and knowledge. Those are the areas he's responsible for. And all the people at the resort and within the JP community supported both of them. I found no one, including anyone on the staff, that had a bad word to say about either one of those two individuals.
That's Steve Olson. He's Chief Executive Officer of Leisure Hotels and Resorts. His company takes over hotels and resorts in trouble, and he has been appointed to run Jay Peak and Q Burke. Thank you so much for talking with us. Appreciate your time today.
Okay, thank you very much.
We are talking about what happens now and in the future for the Northeast Kingdom since the fraud allegations against Ariel Quiros and Bill Stenger were announced. Coming up, we're going to talk with the Friends of Burke Mountain about what they'd like to see for that ski area and the resort. We'll be looking at the situation in Newport to talk about what happens next with development projects in the city. And if you live in the Kingdom and want to share your feelings or what you see as solutions, or just what the effect has been like on your community, what the discussions are like, call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Last week, Essex Orleans State Senator Bobby Starr told VPR about his reaction when he heard the news of alleged fraud at Jay Peak and Q Burke, and specifically his surprise to hear that Kingdom businessman Bill Stenger was included in the allegations.
Actually, it gave me an upset stomach to hear, all the shenanigans or opposed shenanigans that the Jay area people were subjected to, and it was, really hard to believe that, things were that serious. I've worked with Bill Stenger for 30 years on projects since he first got to Jay, because I was a state rep at that point in time, and in all of those years, never once, was I misled from any comments he gave me or facts or figures. I talked with him on Saturday for quite a period of time. He said that, he didn't have a clue any of this was coming down, different people had different responsibilities in this grand scheme of things, and that, his job was to raise the money and get the investors and to promote the program. And, there was financial people looking after the money, and if he was guilty of anything, it was guilty of not paying enough attention to what his partners or his business associates were up to.
That was Essex Orleans State Senator Bobby Starr speaking with VPR last week, sharing his opinions on his reaction to the situation there and it sounds like his continued support or surprise to hear about Bill Stenger's allegations. Lots of people questioning what Bill Stenger knew or didn't know. We have reached out to Bill Stenger. He said he hopes to be in touch soon for an interview. We'll keep you posted on that. We are looking at the reaction in the Northeast Kingdom to these fraud allegations and hearing from people who are affected or working for a positive outcome. If you could be described that way, call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Tell us how the situation affects you or post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Michael Schur is founder of Friends of Burke Mountain. Olivia Bertolini-Libby is the group's executive director. She's also the owner of the Willow Burke Inn in East Burke. They are both on the line with us now. Michael, Olivia, welcome to the program. Thanks for talking.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Michael, can you explain what Friends of Burke Mountain is?
Yes, I can tell you what it was and what it has become. We started out as a Facebook group right after we learned about the allegations and the layoffs, after we learned that 180 of our friends had lost their jobs at the hotel. We decided to organize a social media community, and we are now more than 3,600 strong, a But then we decided we really need to form a nonprofit organization to support the recovery of Burke Mountain. And our short-term goal is to get the mountain open again as soon as possible, to work with Steve Olson, the receiver, and to get those jobs back for our friends as soon as possible, because we believe that Steve Olson and the receiver shares our vision of restoring Burke Mountain as a four-season resort that preserves the spirit and natural setting of the mountain, and that will really provide an important source of jobs and economic opportunity for the Northeast Kingdom, which, as you know, is very much in need of economic opportunity.
So, Olivia Bertolini-Libby, when you were listening to Steve Olson talk with us about operations at Jay Peak and at Burke Mountain, what was your reaction to what he said? Are you confident about this idea of having the resort open and having the mountain open by Thanksgiving? Does that seem like a reasonable goal to you?
Yes, it does. I mean, it's a turnkey, at least for Burke Mountain, which is closer to me than Jay. I do have confidence in Mr. Olson. It's a turnkey facility. The hotel right now, as I understand it, has water in the pool. Linens are on the bed. Plates and utensils are in the dining areas. I have no reason to believe that we will not be operational this year and bigger, better, and ready to conquer the winter. We just need snow, actually. And I'm hopeful that it will come.
And Jane, I would just add to that, you know, a number of our members are concerned that the hotel is not opening sooner, because there's a huge mountain biking community. Over 70,000 people a year come to the Burke area to mountain bike. And that hotel, which, as Olivia mentioned, is ready to open. And the reason it's not open, and which Mr. Olson did not mention, is that $5 million is owed to the contractor. And I'd very much like to see, and I think the Friends of Burke would very much like to see, the receiver go to court and try and borrow some more money to pay off the contractor as soon as possible and get the hotel open for the mountain biking season.
And it sounds like the mountain biking trails, at least, are supposed to open, but you want to see the resort open so that people have a place to stay and so those tourism dollars can continue to flow in.
And not just that, but, you know, over 140 people were hired and trained. And I know that Mr. Olson wants to make sure that they're well-trained, but people moved from other parts of the country, went through a training program. People gave up other jobs in the Northeast Kingdom to work at the hotel, and we really want those folks to get working as soon as possible and really would like to push to have the opening day for the hotel be closer to June or July and not November.
Listeners, if this is something that affects you, we'd love to hear your position. If you have a question for Michael Schur or Olivia Bertolini-Libby, the Friends of Burke Mountain, you can call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Patty posted a question saying, what type of assistance are you looking for from the greater Burke community? How can concerned and interested people help to ensure a successful future for Burke Mountain, the ski area, and the hotel? And Sean from Burke said, what are the plans to gain input from and cater to residents of Burke and the surrounding communities? We all feel crushed by what's happened to us. While most of us understand the need for change or rebranding, new ideas, etc., there's also a strong sense that the community should have some say in what happens with our beloved mountain. For us, this is an integral part of our culture. It means something much more than money and jobs. So, you know, those could be posed to some of the people who are working on getting the mountain up and running and keeping it alive. But Michael and Olivia, for you, you know, what do you say to Patty and Sean who are saying, how can the community be involved in this and ensure that the community has some input moving forward?
Well, Jane, here's what we've done to let people get involved right away. As soon as they hear this show, you can send us an email at getinvolved@friendsofburke.com, or go to our website, www.friendsofburke.com, and there will be an opportunity to volunteer, to contribute. We're building out a board of directors and an advisory council for our new nonprofit. There are so many ways that people can help support Burke Mountain. You may be good at organizing events. One of our goals is to organize concerts, cultural events that will draw people to the region. You may want to give a contribution so that we can help build out our organization. Those are just some of the things that people can do if they email us at getinvolved@friendsofburke.com or go to www.friendsofburke.com.
Olivia, you wanted to jump in there too?
I would, thank you. And also, I would like to interject is that we welcome ideas. I mean, this is a creative dialogue, which is something that we think is very important. This area means so much for so many. That's actually some of the beautiful thing that's come out of all of this is that within a few weeks, we have over 3,600 people following our Facebook page. And the common nexus is our love and passion, not only for Burke Mountain, but the Northeast Kingdom. And so we'll welcome anybody's support on whatever level. If you want to volunteer, if you have ideas, please bring it to the table because this is a community effort. This isn't just the East Burke effort. This is Lindenville, St. Johnsbury, people who come up and have second homes here or enjoy skiing here in the winter, and we welcome it all.
We got a note from a listener who says, we have a wedding deposit at Q Burke, and now with these developments, no longer want our wedding there. The future's too uncertain. November opening sounds good, but who knows if that will be met. And let's go to Steve, calling in from Waterbury Center. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
I just like to say that the gentleman is correct. The mountain bikers, I think, will be great customers. There's an event the second week of May, and I wish the hotel was open then because I'd be staying in it. And I'm always amazed at how people seem to really need to steal instead of working hard. And maybe $5 million to open that hotel ought to just come right out of these gentlemen, or whatever we want to call them's pocketbook, because it seems like they squirreled away quite a few millions. I wish you guys luck in getting that place going quick as you can.
Steve, thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. Good luck in the event in a couple weeks. Olivia, you are the owner of the Willow Burke Inn in East Burke. Can you talk a little bit about how you see this affecting your business beside just, you know, at the mountain? What's happening now in the communities in terms of concerns over economics and tourism and visitors?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, as you all know, this past winter was not a wonderful winter. So coming off a bad winter season and a very primarily tourist-based economy, it has been difficult, not just for the immediate tourist-based industry such as inns or restaurants or sporting goods stores, but also secondary businesses. For example, there's a local laundromat in Lindenville, which washes a lot of linens from the condos up at Burke that are rented for people coming up and enjoying ski vacations. There's a trickle-down economics to this that affects many indirectly by what is happening right now. The people at the laundromat aren't washing as many clothes that they count on, or linens, should I say. So there is sort of a sense, underlining sense of frustration. We all had a lot of hopes for the EB-5 program and what it was going to bring to the area, the jobs, the idea of a beautiful four-season resort. And when it happened, and it happened very quickly a couple of weeks ago, and we hear the SEC and the headlines, everybody sort of took a breath and just were concerned gravely for what our future is. However, we kind of look at this as that we're the phoenix that's rising from the ashes. We have a lot of positive things. We have Kingdom Trails, which is best mountain biking in North America, one of the top five of the world. Burke Mountain has wonderful various terrain. We're home to a prestigious academy that's produced more Olympic athletes, Burke Mountain Academy, than any other ski school, I understand, in North America. So we have a lot of attributes. Willoughby Lake has a Mount Pisgah, which is renowned for ice climbing. this area has so much more, and we're in many ways very much Burke strong, and we're looking at this as an opportunity for positive change and coming together, perhaps like we've never seen before.
So we're going to keep an eye on that, and we'll keep watching what happens. Michael Scherr is founder of Friends of Burke Mountain. Olivia Bertolini-Libby is the group's executive director. She's also owner of the Willow Burke Inn in East Burke. Thanks very much to both of you for being on the program today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
More to come. You're listening to Vermont Edition. We're going to turn our eyes to Newport, more about business and economics and how all of this is shaking out in the wake of fraud allegations in the Northeast Kingdom. This is Vermont Edition. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We've been looking at what's happening in the Northeast Kingdom in reaction to the big shakeup with the EB-5 investment program projects being run by Ariel Quiros and Bill Stanger. We've been hearing from some of you, and we've been talking to people around the region who are affected and working on some change. Dave Snedeker is executive director of the Northeastern Vermont Development Association, and he's on with us now. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me on the program.
So, you know, one of the questions here is what can be salvaged from this and how does the business community react and try to build something out of what is undeniably a bad situation? So what do you think?
Well, I think generally there was some disappointment over some lost opportunities, especially in the city of Newport. But the projects promised, as you know, many new and well-paying jobs and opportunities that would revitalize the host communities and our region. I don't think all is necessarily lost. Up at Jay Peak, we have a large number of new facilities which anyone is going to be able to step in and run successfully. And up at Burke Mountain, we have obviously a new hotel, and I think that's something that the mountain has needed for a number of years. So I think those two communities and those projects will be successful going forward. In the city of Newport, I'm looking at the projects there, the ANC Bio and the Renaissance Block projects, as projects where they were things were ready for future development. So in downtown Newport, where the Renaissance Block would be located, we have the removal of a number of dilapidated buildings, in my opinion. And I think that's an expense that a future developer won't have to bear. And then up at the ANC Bio site, there still remains a 60,000-square-foot manufacturing facility, which we've had a number of interest from manufacturers from both Quebec and outside of Vermont looking for spaces over the last couple of years. And that's a facility that we can add to our list, and hopefully we'll get somebody in there in fairly short order once we know when we can access the properties.
So making proverbial lemonade out of lemons, you see the possibility for new developers to skip a step that they otherwise might have had to do, whether it's demolition of buildings or building something, that there's already things there that can just sort of be moved into or that can be pursued that have already been started that you see as a positive.
I do. That's how we're choosing to view it, yes.
So what's your role then in helping to get those projects to continue and to make sure that things stay strong?
Okay, well, my organization, NVDA, we're a combined regional planning and regional development corporation. So we serve the three counties of the Northeast Kingdom and the 50-plus communities, including Newport, Jay, and Burke. And our role, we have a role in land use planning, so, or project planning for developments, and we participate in Act 250 permits and hearings. And then we also are able to work with businesses that are interested in doing work up in our area. And we work closely in partnership with the Agency of Commerce and Community Development at the state and agencies of transportation for anything that might be transportation related. So, and of course, we work closely with our communities. So we've already been in touch with Mayor Monette up in Newport and his staff, and we'll be doing similar outreach over in Burke, and I'm meeting with or talking with the receiver tomorrow, so I'll know more about timelines and things like that.
You know, we had a question from some listeners that we posed to the Friends of Burke Mountain about how can people in these communities get involved, and they were specifically talking about Burke. But what about how people in all of the communities can both get involved and feel like their voices are heard moving forward?
I think for any new developments, there's typically a public process involved, and you want the community leaders are usually quite careful about bringing in projects that have community support. So So I think that would certainly be an appropriate time for interested people to become involved.
Dave Snedeker is Executive Director of Northeastern Vermont Development Association, NVDA. Thank you very much for talking with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane.
And let's turn finally this hour to Steve Marsh, CEO of Community National Bank based in Newport. Steve, nice to have you joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Jane.
So what's been your reaction to watching this all unfold over just now the last couple of weeks?
Oh, gosh. What a range of emotions. I think that when it first happened, I was totally sad for the community because so many people were depending on that as a future source of jobs for their children. And that was just taken away from them very quickly. But I think that now that we've had the opportunity to reflect on it, that there's probably some opportunities for us here, too.
What are those opportunities as you see them?
Well, the lake is a tremendous asset to us, and we now have the opportunity to forward that development and utilize that asset so much more than we have in the past.
You're talking about Lake Mefremagog here?
But the vision hasn't.
Uh-huh. So how would you do that? If the vision hasn't changed, and sorry to interrupt you, I was just reminding people who are unfamiliar with Newport that the lake in question here, the beautiful lake that Newport is on the shores of, is Mefremagog. So
right.
When you say the vision hasn't changed, but things are going to change, so how do you bring that vision to fruition now?
It's going to take some effort by the local folks and by the state to fill that big hole in Newport with something that's productive. The lake attracts people. We need something to hold them when they're there. And I think we need something that'll produce some tax revenue for the city. And I think they can do that with that hole in the ground that's there. I think that it's really important that we don't lose sight of the fact that the EB-5 program was wanted and is an excellent source of patient capital, which we need in the kingdom. Because somebody misused it doesn't mean the program was bad.
So you'd like to see the EB-5 program continue and maybe even grow, even in your area. You're not sort of gun-shy about that program now.
Not at all. I think the EB-5 program worked the way it's supposed to work. We just had a bad actor that took advantage of it. We need to strengthen maybe the back end of the process, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the program itself.
And the state would claim that it has already strengthened the back end through different oversight now and removing some of the potential conflicts between departments in the state that were supposed to be sort of boosters versus departments that are supposed to have oversight. And more to come on that story as things unfold as well. We got a note from Mark in Craftsbury who says, the city of Newport has benefited greatly and will in the future. The big hole downtown is a blessing. Already half the block has new business and the other half is ready for the next wave of development. Jay is built out to a Western Resort standard and will provide revenue and below-poverty jobs for years to come. Burke, too, has enough of a facelift to attract large enough interest to finish the job for good or ill. I suspect that all the permit work and requisite studies for airport expansion and harbor revitalization have laid the groundwork to make these projects much more attractive to future investors. Mark says, I hear a lot of bitter talk, but feel that this debacle brings the Northeast Kingdom into the 21st century. Whether that is ultimately best for the kingdom is open to further debate. Do you agree with Mark's statement? I mean, it sounds like Dave Snedeker and Mark from Craftsbury and Steve Marsh, you are sort of all saying, you know, there are possibilities here that we need to keep in mind.
Absolutely. And I agree with what he said. Those buildings that were torn down were a terrible group of buildings. And frankly, I think that was urban development at its best when those came down. Now we just have to figure out what to do with that big hole. We have built up the infrastructure everywhere else. I think the most important thing to do now is preserve the jobs at Jay, preserve the jobs at Burke, and figure out what to do going forward.
And will you be there to help in this process in Newport and beyond as this continues?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Steve Marsh is CEO of Community National Bank based in Newport. Thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And that wraps up this discussion about what's been happening in the Northeast Kingdom as things unfold with this fraud allegation against Ariel Quiros and Bill Stanger. More to come. Stay with VPR. Stay with Vermont Edition. Let us know what else you'd like to hear on this subject. Write to Vermont Edition at VPR.net. Tomorrow, a conversation with House Speaker Shap Smith on what's to come for bills covering marijuana, energy siting, an ethics commission, and more as the end of the session looms. Send your questions and comments to Vermont Edition at VPR.net and listen live tomorrow at noon. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri and Sam Gale Rosen. We have production assistance from Anna St. Marie. Liam Connors directed the show, and our executive producer is Patty Daniels. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.